As we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, we're still in the 8th chapter, and we're ready to begin at the 15th verse. And the subject here is the wisdom of God. And wisdom is speaking in such a way as though wisdom itself is a person. Wisdom is personified. It says in verse 18, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength." It's as though wisdom were a person speaking, and actually this, of course, is God. God is where wisdom dwells, and we get it through the Word of God. Everything we learn here about the wisdom of God is something we get through God's Word and studying God's Word. So verse 15 says, still talking about wisdom, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice." And we learn in Daniel 4:17 that he says, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." So all the kingdoms are given by God. God gives it to whoever he wills. And he sets up over it the basis of men, he says. The Most High rules in the kingdom of men. That's what we learn here. And so when he says, "By me kings reign and princes decree justice," he's actually speaking of the fact that civil governments come from God. Civil governments are actually divine institutions. God is the one who allows kings to reign. He gives them the authority that they have. So this is all the rulers of the different nations. And the Apostle Paul speaks of this in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. We'd like to read those verses. Paul says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake." So, kings reign by the fact that God gives them the power. The civil government may be very evil. It is not the church, nor any part of the church. The members of the church are very muchly in obedience to the civil government, though. And unless the civil government violates the law of God, we follow the law of the civil government. The members of the church are going to be the very best citizens in the whole kingdom. For they're going to obey the laws to the best of their ability. They're going to pay their taxes. They're going to be in obedience to the laws of the self-government as long as they don't violate the laws of God. Verse 16, he further says, "By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth." So we do nothing to overthrow or undermine the self-government. We're in no way a threat to the civil government. God removes and sets up rulers as he sees fit. The only reason for Christians to disobey the laws of the land, as I said, would be due to a conflict with God's law. Verse 17, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Those that love him will love his wisdom. Those that seek him will seek his wisdom. He loved us first, so to love him is to simply return his love. Those who wait to seek him may never seek him, and consequently never find him because of the uncertainties of life. So to be sure to find him, seek him early. So seek him earnestly. Seek him first before anything else. Seek him in the days of thy youth. Then Christ shall be theirs, and they shall be Christ." He says furthermore in verse 18, "Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. God, through His wisdom, has power over all riches. These riches range from earthly treasure to eternal salvation in heaven. God makes these riches available through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So those who follow the wisdom of God shall have as much riches and honor in this life as the great wisdom of God sees as good for them to have, and eternal life in the next life. The riches are His, and the options to give or not give are also His. So when one receives these riches, they also have righteousness. He says in verse 19, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." Riches bestowed by God are honestly acquired. No dishonesty is involved. The fruit is the end product of a righteous life. It is better than gold. And the revenue, which is collected before the end of life, is better than choice silver. So we're blessed in this life, we're blessed after this life, and we have things that are better than gold, better than silver. We can't take gold and silver with us when we die. Gold and silver are not really the things that make us happy in this life. It's the Word of God, His wisdom, and the kind of a life that we follow while obeying His wisdom that gives us true happiness. In verse 20 of this 8th chapter of Proverbs, he further says, "I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." Now remember, wisdom is here personifying itself as though it were a person. "I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment." The wisdom of God leads in the way of righteousness. It shows us the way that God would have us to walk in, the way that leads to eternal life. It also leads in the paths that are just and proper paths. God's Word will guide us in the correct way if we will allow it to. Allow it to be the guide of our own life, and we will have a better life here on earth and eventually gain the eternal home in heaven. So wisdom, the wisdom of God, leads in the way of righteousness and the path of justice, not only that she may keep her friends living the way God wants them to live, but also that she may cause them to inherit substance and may fill their treasures. This cannot be done with the things of this world, nor with anything less than God and heaven. Verse 21 says, "That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." Now, to inherit substance means something that really exists. It is not something that's imaginary or that is just kind of an intangible. It really exists. It is something. It is substance. It says, "And I will fill their treasures," that is, their storehouses, their cellar. The word can mean even cellar. "I will fill their treasures." So this happiness that we get by following wisdom is actually substance. It is something that is real. It really exists. It is solid. It's well grounded. It will last. It's eternal. All of the possessions of this earth are temporary and must come to an end. But the riches we get from wisdom not only will maintain us, but it will make us rich. Verse 22 says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old." Now here we see that wisdom is continues to be given in a personified form. But wisdom here claims credit for everything God created, so that wisdom was first, just as God was eternally first. Christ used this eternal wisdom in creation. He says, "The Lord possessed me." Here the word for Lord is Yahweh. Possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. 1 Corinthians 1:24, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So when we read about wisdom being in the beginning, and we also read that Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God, then of course this is another verification of the fact that Christ also was in the beginning. Christ was a member of the Godhead. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were present in the beginning. But wisdom was there. And then the wisdom is the thing that God uses in His creation of the universe, in His power. So, the Lord possessed me in the beginning, He says. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 also says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Again, stating that Jesus Christ is wisdom to us. So whatever is said about wisdom, we have it through Jesus Christ. So the statement here is that the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Wisdom was there in the very beginning. We have this again verified in John 1, verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And so we would like to further emphasize that Jesus Christ was in the beginning and participated in the entire creation. In John 1, verses 1 through 3, NIV, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that had been made." Also we read in Ephesians 3, verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Hebrews 1, verse 2, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world." Again in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So we have emphasized again that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God, and He was in the beginning, and He was the one that God used to create all things. However, though, as we learn here in Proverbs, at the time of creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit used wisdom as the great tool by which creation was brought about. So as we study about the role of wisdom in the creation, this does not change the fact that the creation was brought about by God through Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing to us is this same wisdom that we study about today is the wisdom that brought about the creation of the world. So He says, again, let's read verse 22, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. The creation was performed by Yahweh, which included the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning, the Godhead possessed wisdom. This wisdom was capable of performing any work which is needed to be done. Wisdom existed before creation. When we have any part of this wisdom of God, we have knowledge and understanding which is in harmony with all of the laws of creation. The wisdom of God is the wisdom that was used to bring about the creation of the universe." So we can feel so confident, so good, so secure in knowing the wisdom that God gives us, because it is the wisdom that has been used from the very beginning of creation. Again in verse 23 He says, "I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." This wisdom has existed from eternity, before the earth was created. Let us remember that Christ had this wisdom and used it in the creation. Again, we'd like to read John 1, 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." But we see here from our study in Proverbs that Wisdom was there. Wisdom was the tool that was used by Christ as he made the worlds. John calls Christ the Word, and he calls Christ God. And these verses actually parallel the Genesis account of creation. These verses are in perfect accord with what Genesis tells us about the creation. Verse 23 here speaks of the earth as in day one of the creation. That's what verse 23 is talking about. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. This is the very first day of creation when he talks about before ever the earth was. This is day one of creation. And so wisdom was set up to bring this about. We read about that in Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. I'd like to read those verses now. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So the very first day when the earth was created, wisdom was there. And as we read this account in Genesis, we see in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we really have everything that we need and that we know of in the universe right here. In the beginning, that's when time started. God created the heaven, that's space, and the earth, that's mass. And we see that God was here. So here we read about time, space, mass, and God. That's the complete listing of the elements that are necessary for what we now know as the universe. And the earth, he says, was without form and void. That is, the earth didn't have any shape, without form. It was just a glob, a mass, and a watery mix. And it was void. That is, it had no inhabitants. It was void in the beginning. The first day there were no inhabitants on the earth. And he says darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that's the waters. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here we see the Spirit of God involved. The Spirit of God is actually putting energy and establishing the law of gravity and so forth into these mass that God has here on the earth. And until we have the law of gravity and we have some of these laws of physics begin to take place, there could be no shape. It's just a glob here. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. And God called the night day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. Wisdom was here when this was all happening. Wisdom is a part of this. And that's what he's saying here in verse 23. I was set up from the everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Wisdom was here. Further, he says in verse 24, When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. This refers to day two, when we have the divisions of the waters. That's Genesis 1, 6 through 8. Let's read that. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So here we have the second day of creation. Wisdom was there. Wisdom was brought forth as God made the firmament, that is the atmosphere, which divided the upper waters from the lower waters. The upper waters were a vapor canopy. The lower waters were the waters on earth. The two waters were separated by the atmosphere. So in this beginning of time and earth, the earth was covered by a vapor canopy. The vapor canopy would protect it from the rays of the sun. And it would keep the temperature an even temperature. There would be no rain, no need for rain, be no clouds. But this vapor canopy would make the earth the poles just as warm as the any other part of the earth, and it would be ferns and lush plants growing all over the earth. And that was the way it was in the beginning. And that was the second day when God made these two waters, and he separated them by this firmament or by the atmosphere. And years later, when the flood would come, God would cause this waters in the upper heavens, the vapor canopy, to fall as rain, and we would have the great flood. And then these waters would stay on the earth. They would only be raised up in clouds to circulate and fall again as rain, and great oceans would be formed from them. That would happen later on when the great flood came, and this, of course, made a great change in the earth. The earth's atmosphere and the surface of the earth would be much different now. We would have the poles and the ice, and have rains and winds, storms, and so forth. But at this time of the second day, the earth was now getting into the position where it would have a uniform temperature, and it would have a shape after the gravity was established. Originally, there was no form, no shape, but now it would take on shape. And eventually, as God created animals and humans and plants, it would not be void, but it would be inhabited. And the point he's making here in Proverbs is that wisdom was there. Oh, he says in this 24th verse, when there were no depths, were no oceans, hadn't created oceans yet, I was brought forth when there were no fountains abounding with water. But during this second day, that was brought forth, but wisdom was used to do this. God's wisdom has the ability to bring about the creation. And the same wisdom that God used for that, he uses, as he tells us today, how to live, how to be pleasing to him. And so it gives us that much more respect for this thing known as wisdom. Well, our time has expired. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.